Thanks to Mrs. Bailey's class for that introduction. You know, we always think Fridays are awesome, although you frigatriskaidekaphobics might disagree about this particular Friday. Today, CNN Student News is taking you all over the world. We start in the Middle East. Different groups from around the world have been pushing for an end to the violence in Syria. Yesterday, that seemed to happen, even if it was only for a short time. The sound of artillery fire has been a daily event in many Syrian cities. Part of a peace plan set a Thursday deadline for the ceasefire. And listen to this. What you don't hear is artillery fire. No explosions. This YouTube video does show a tank in the middle of the city, but there doesn't seem to be any fighting going on, at least for a few moments. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said it was a critical moment for ending the violence in Syria, but he also said the world was watching with what he called skeptical eyes, since the Syrian government hasn't kept several promises it's made in the past. The window for a North Korean rocket launch is open. The nation announced last month that the launch could happen anytime between yesterday and Monday. We've reported on the tension surrounding this rocket. North Korea says it's using it to launch a weather satellite into orbit, but other countries like the U.S. and South Korea think the launch is just a cover for North Korea to test a ballistic missile. Tom Foreman explains how experts might be able to learn what this rocket is for.
Intelligence analysts and rocket scientists all around the world have watched very closely the development of this rocket. They know that there has been input from the Russians and from the Chinese in terms of the technology used. They know that the North Koreans have also played with that a good bit. But they don't know a whole lot of other things about this rocket other than the general shape and the possible capability. Last one, the Unha 2, was about 100 feet tall. This one seems to be taller than that a bit, 176,000 pounds in weight, roughly. And the payload, boy, this is a big guess here, anywhere from 200 to 1,400 pounds, maybe a lot more. It's hard to say because there are so many specifics we don't know about this. We do know that when it lifts off, there will be an awful lot of things to watch as it blasts up into space. Things that will give intelligence services a sense of how well it's performing. For example, do the boosters drop off as they should in the drop zones indicated by North Korea? And beyond that, how does this thing fly once it gets into space? They will look at the color of the flames coming out of the back. This will give them an idea of exactly what kind of fuel is being burned, how effectively it's being burned. They'll look at the trajectory of the flight. Is it flying more like a satellite launching missile? Or is it flying more like a ballistic missile? There are differences in the direction in which they fly. They'll also look at the telemetry, all of the information coming out of this as it flies. That won't only be professional services looking at that, but all sorts of amateurs around the world in Australia and South America keeping track of that, seeing what they can figure out. And the overall performance, is it acting like a well-disciplined, well-constructed rocket as it flies at 17,000 miles an hour, 300 miles in the air, and tries to launch this little satellite right here, which is really the focus of it all when you think about it, because that little satellite is actually a very low-performance piece of technology as far as we know, kind of like Telstar was back in 1962. The big question is, would you put all of that technology to work just to launch this? That's what intelligence analysts think is the big question.